Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
Deborah did a great job last week. It was so powerful. They even told a joke at the beginning. So today I'm going to tell two jokes. I'm going to one-up them. All right? You did three. You're going to do three next time. They're going to one-up me again. Here we go. Anyway, I'll just Bill. There's two. You want two? Is that okay? Okay, I'll try. We'll try. Here's the first one. How many know that men and women see things different? This pastor in Chicago, serious, Lee Eklov, a pastor in Chicago area, he describes two of these people writing in their journal. So first of all, I don't know that men journal as good as women journal, but whatever. Here's a man and a woman's journal. Are you with me? So I want to read to you the writing, okay? And this is describing something in their relationship. Here we go. This is her journal. Say, she says, "Tonight, my husband was acting weird. We'd made plans to meet at a nice restaurant for dinner. Conversation was flowing, so I suggested that we go somewhere quiet so we could talk. He agreed, but he didn't say much. I asked him what was wrong. He said nothing. I asked him if it was my fault that he was upset. He said he wasn't upset, that it had nothing to do with me, and not to worry about it. On the way home, I told him that I loved him. He smiled slightly and kept driving. When we got home, he just sat there quietly and watched TV. He continued to seem distant and absent. Finally, with silence all around us, I decided to go to bed. About 15 minutes later, he came to bed. But I still felt that he was distracted and that his thoughts were somewhere else. He fell asleep, and her final line in her journal was, I don't know what to do. Okay, say his journal. His journal wasn't quite as long. It says, serious, it says, rough day, period. Boat wouldn't start, can't figure out why. Sorry, but sometimes, he said it was nothing to do with her. It really wasn't. She's like all deep, and he just said what it was. I said there wasn't anything wrong. He's thinking about his boat, how to troubleshoot his boat. Different whole planets sometimes. So, but that's not an excuse not to communicate. We still need to learn how to communicate. Hello, somebody. Ladies, you better be cheering me on right now, or I'll come on now. It doesn't mean you can't communicate. It means we need to learn there's a difference in communication. Okay, here's a second joke. Am I all right? Can I keep going? Not going to boo me down? Okay. Okay, a judge was interviewing this woman regarding her pending divorce. Okay, so say divorce. So it's trouble, judge is here. He says, what are the grounds for your divorce? She replied, about 4 acres with a little home in the middle of the property. Judge said, no. I mean, what is the foundation of this case? It's made of concrete, brick, and mortar, she replied. He's getting frustrated. He says, I mean, what are your relations like? She says, I have an aunt and uncle in town, and as well as my husband's parents. He said, do you have a grudge? No, she replied. Since we have a carport, we never really needed one. He says, ma'am, has your husband ever beat you up? Yes, she responded. About twice a week, he gets up earlier than I do. Finally, in frustration, the judge asks, madam, why do you want a divorce? She said, I never wanted a divorce, the woman replied. My husband does. He says he can't communicate with me. Just saying. I don't know. I think there's some... I mean, no, that's not healthy communication in action. All right? Please don't do this one at home, ladies and gentlemen, kind of thing. Anyway, moving right along. Father, bless this word, and I thank you that you would just increase our communication and give us your skills. In Jesus' name, amen. They didn't start the clock, which means I have 4 hours to go. healthy communication, it's what connects two people's hearts together. It's what connects us, our hearts and our minds. Communication helps to pull it together. One person said, they said, words are singularly the most powerful force available to humanity. We can choose to use this force constructively with words of encouragement or destructively with words of despair. Words have energy and power with the ability to help, to heal, to hinder, to hurt, to harm, to humiliate, to humble. I mean, you can just go on and on. What the power of words. You know, Proverbs says life and death are in the power of the tongue. And so we need to love it and eat the fruit of good words and good, healthy communication. So I want to come out of Ephesians chapter 4. I feel like we're going to pull stuff out of it. I'm going to start with two verses, 15 and 16, and then pull three or four verses down towards the bottom of the chapter. So Ephesians 4, 15 and 16, it says, but speaking the truth in love, say it with me.
Speaking the truth in love.
We could just stop right there. Just take that one in Selah. Speaking the truth in love. And that's a great place to start. And if you're saying, man, my communication is all messed up, I need help, this is the first place you start. And it says, speaking the truth in love. And then he goes on to say, we grow up in all aspects unto him. So before I even read this next verse, some of you are going, why are you reading this passage out of Ephesians? This is for the body of Christ. How many know the body of Christ starts where two or more are gathered? Isn't that true?
Yeah.
Didn't you say where two or more are gathered? If you're in a relationship, two or more have gathered. So the body of Christ starts, of course, you and Jesus, but then it starts with you and your spouse. I love Danny Silk's circles, and he talks about circles in relationship. Not only do you have you and God, then you have you and your spouse, but then you have you, your spouse, your children, then you have immediate family, then you have a bigger circle with friends, then you have a bigger circle with, are you with me? And they go on and on. But it starts there. So let's read it in context to relationship with that inner circle, which would be you and the relationship. And if you say, well, you know, at least God's in that circle, even if you're single here today. But he says, speaking the truth in love. And you say, well, that's just corny. What are you talking about? Look, some of you, if we can't learn to communicate with God, that'll affect the way we communicate with everybody. We need to communicate with God in a powerful way. Speaking the truth in love, to grow up in all aspects unto him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by which every joint supplies. According to the proper working of each individual part, it causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. The way a couple is going to be built up is by each part functioning and doing its part. Instead of just looking and going, you're not doing your part in this thing, it's like you work on your part, and when you're individually doing your part and she's individually doing her part, then it builds both of you up. Are you with me? It's each individual growth and each one of our individual progress builds it up. And then as a couple, you build up those around you and your inner circle and then your community. And so it has to start there. And so let's start there. You know, speaking the truth in love, it's a powerful thing. You can't separate that truth and love. Say truth and love. Teresa used to be a science teacher, and she actually was it chemistry? You taught chemistry, grade school. She taught science to the grade school students, and one time she pulled over because she was doing science, and redissecting frogs or something, all things. And then she saw a snake. She saw a rattlesnake on the road that got run over, so she stopped to pick up the rattlesnake, but it wasn't quite yet dead. And the thing struck at her, and then she realized, don't pick up a rattlesnake that's been run over. Hello, that's a whole other sermon. The snake said, you knew I was a snake when you tried to pick me up. Let's not touch that one. Anyway, moving right along. Speaking the truth in love, you know, if you look at science, you know, sodium is an extremely active element found naturally only in combined form. So it's found in combinations. It always links itself to another element. Now, how many know chlorine, on the other hand, is a poisonous gas that gives bleach? How many of you ever smell the bleach? You ever smell chlorine bleach? You get a whiff of that and you're like, whoa, hello. Well, when you take sodium and chlorine and you combine them, the results are what?
Salt.
Table salt. So, and table salt is powerful. Table salt, you put it on your food, but in the day there was no refrigerators and some places didn't have ice cubes too close, and that salt was to preserve meat. And Jesus says, you're the salt of the earth. Are you with me? I married a good Irish woman and she's the salt of the earth. She salts everything. I had to tell her, I'm like, not. I'm happy to be married to the salt of the earth. I put pepper on everything. I only put salt on popcorn and corn on the cob. Other than that, I'm not salting it. There's so much sodium in everything else. I'll blow up like a frog. I'm like, hello, I couldn't do that much salt. But how many know, how could you ingest salt when it comes from a poisonous gas and from this chemical? What, how does this work? Because it's combined. But it's the same as combining that we're to speak truth in love. Say in love.
In love.
You can't separate truth and love. And if you want to learn the first lesson, it's like try to go and speak truth out of love and see how that does for your communication. So healthy communication, it's powerful. And we see this when you take and you combine these. So love without truth, it's sometimes flighty. Sometimes it's just blind. It's willing to combine doctrines. Have you ever seen a cult that you go, well, they just love people. How could God? How could they not be doing God's will? They love people. It's like they don't believe in Jesus. You could be loving without truth. That's not going to get you to heaven. Jesus said, I'm the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus spoke truth. Either Jesus was a liar or what he said was true. Hello, are you here?
Yeah.
You need truth and you need love. So love without truth, you can get in trouble. And on the other hand, truth by itself sometimes is offensive. Sometimes it's even poisonous. You know, sometimes spoken, you can speak truth without love. And it can even turn people away from us. It can turn people away from God. One time we were at Hillsong Australia, and this guy's on a soapbox, and we just come out of this event. It's awesome, powerful. We're all happy and stoked, and he's just screaming a bunch of truth with no love. It was horrible. It was like, dude, who are you going to get saved like that? You just want to go over there and go, man, get some love and then get back on your box, and I'll applaud you, but you're like totally have no love at all, and you're preaching to a bunch of people coming out of a conference. It's like, find some lost people here. Anyway, so truth without love, it's like the sword. The sword's a double-edged sword, and if you don't handle the sword right, you can cut people even with the word of God. The devil used truth. Didn't the devil use truth on Jesus? But was it in love? No. It was for his own selfish gain, and he misused it, and he used the wrong side of the sword, and Jesus used the word of truth back at him. Are you with me? But Jesus spoke truth in love. But when truth and love are combined in communication, then we have what Jesus said. Then you can be the salt of the earth. Then your relationships are powerful, and we're able to not only preserve our relationship, but be an example for other people's relationship. And you have this beautiful beauty that's in relationships. How many know we live in a day and an age where I grew up, my mother was she still is a registered nurse. I guess they always are a registered nurse, but she doesn't practice anymore. My mom was an RN. And so basically, if we were sick, mom would say, tell me, where does it hurt? What do you feel? What's going on? And I've told you, I was a little rat because we had 10 kids. So I'd always be like, you're feeling sick? What do you feel? Is it stomach? You're feeling sore throat and all that? And then I'd try to fake my mom out, and I could never get away with it. I mean, I tried taking the thermometer out and rubbing it, putting it back. It's like, you're 112. I'd try rubbing my head. I mean, I'd go in there and chew up bologna and try to throw it in the toilet. I would do anything to try to make myself. Like, I would try to cut out on school, and she always busted me, and she's like, you get up and go to school. And I'm like, I was busted all the time. I don't know if I ever got away with it, ever. TMI. So anyway, my mom was a nurse. But nowadays, how many know you can just Google and put information in, and you can find out some awesome stuff instead of going to the doctor and go, hey, doc, it hurts when I go like that. And he goes, okay, don't do that. $350. Thank you. You're like, $350 just to say don't do that. I could have not done that and not come here. If you just stop doing that, you'll be healed in a little while. And you're like, thank you. That I can Google that for free. So, but when you Google it, what do you have to do? What do you have to do? You have to put in, you have to communicate. Google's not going to give you word of knowledge. Here I am, I'm sick. Please tell me, Google, what's wrong with me? How do you call those, you call those people, you can call like, no, not psychics. No, don't go there. No, get it out of your mind. Wappa, 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 wappa. No. You can call like nurse things. What's it called? MD Live. You can call MD Live and you get on the phone and you can talk to somebody and they'll actually tell you, tell me what's going on with this. And it saves you money. Hello, are you here? But for you to have a healthy life, you have to communicate. Are you with me? Sorry, we almost ran that one off the road. Just saying. So number one, okay, your words reveal the health of your heart. Number one, your words reveal the health. It says speaking the truth in love. So what happens when you're not speaking the truth? What happens when your words aren't coming out in love? Speaking the truth in love. So Matthew 12, 35, 37 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. Evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will give account for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. Crazy, huh? So our words either release the power to heal and to build up and to encourage, or to tear down and discourage those we're in relationships with. And we're going to give account for those relationships. So we better get better at it so that we'll do better. Are you with me? We need to learn to get better. We're created in the image of God, and God is love. God is the most loving God. Anytime we start thinking God is not love and God's not loving, we need to like break that lie and get back on track. If we start thinking God's not loving, we need to there's some dirt on the lenses of the glasses you're seeing God through. And maybe you're disappointed, a little smudge. Maybe you've been hurt, smudge. Maybe your God didn't come through and you're facing the circumstances of what didn't happen, but God's still a loving God. Huh? Your parents could be telling you, I hate you, Daddy, just because you won't eat your broccoli, you hate me? It's like, you just don't want to eat your broccoli. I know you don't hate me. And God realizes sometimes you're just telling him, I'm really mad at you. And he's like, I didn't do anything. You just don't like your broccoli right now. And sometimes we go through things that forge us. We go through trials and tribulations. Sometimes we create the mess, then we blame God for the mess. Just saying, sometimes you don't do anything and you get abused, you get hurt, and you blame God. But God, he gave man a free will. He didn't do it to you. He loves you and he's been standing with you through it. Yes. And if you'll go to him, he'll help you get rid of the pain. Yes. So we need to realize that, but our words will reveal what's in our heart. But we need to realize that we serve a loving God. And 1 John 4:8 says, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So when we fail to speak in love, we really fail in the greatest way. That's God's way. God's way is love. Our worship's awesome, off the charts. Come on. But if we don't have love, then what do we have? Children's ministry, awesome, great stuff. Do the meeting next week. I hope a bunch of people kick in and help, and they realize we're training up the next generation of world changers, that's how you can transform a life. And then I'd rather train a child than repair an adult all day long. I didn't get saved till I was 21. I wish I had what you guys are giving and your team. That's powerful. But can I just tell you something? You can have the best children's ministry. If you don't have love, we don't have anything at Summit. We can have the greatest missions program. We have a great missions program. We have a great dance program. There's over 400 students. They take ballet, tap, jazz, all that stuff on the other side of that wall. And in here and everywhere else, there's studios everywhere now. But whatever. We got all these students. But if we don't have love, what do we have? Are you with me? What's the most important thing? The dance take? No, the love of God. What's the most important thing? We got youth up in the mountains. You have a great youth pastor. Isn't Pastor Taylor a great youth pastor? Come on. Can I just tell you something? Taylor has love. If he didn't have love, he wouldn't be doing what he's doing. And I look at that, he really loves people. Love needs to be that litmus test. Love needs to be right there with truth, of course, but we need to have love. We need to speak love. And whatever we need to do, we need to get love. And our words reveal that if something's not healthy in our words, then it's a revelation. It's revealing what's in our heart. I was telling somebody at First Service, they said, how you doing? I said, awesome. I said, but we've been working our brains out, just pushing for this first part of the year. And I'm like, you know, I realize, you know, I'm going to take off. Tomorrow's my day off. I'm going to take off, but I'm going to take an extra day off on Tuesday because I've been doing 6-day weeks. And I'm just like, I just need to rest another day because I realize I'm starting to get short with my words. And I said, I want to be more patient. And if I realize my word is coming out short, that there's a sign there's something wrong with my heart. Because I'm just being pushed, but I'm pushing myself because I'm the boss. I could take off. I work for him. You know what I mean? It's like everybody else gets 2 days off, but I'm not taking them. So I'm just telling you, like, I'm not complaining. I love what I do. What I'm telling you is I'm being real, that I troubleshoot my own self. And I say, if I say something and I don't like what I said, I have to troubleshoot and say, you need to make an adjustment in here. You with me? Not like, well, I don't like the way that, you know, this happened from this person, and it was Bert. Bert said something. He's Canadian. He's going to love on you. You're going to blame Bert. You're in trouble. What the heck? You're going to blame the Canadian? Canadians, like, love everybody. Everybody knows that. What the heck? You got a problem with him? Then you've got the problem. It's like, the nicest guy. It's like, he's awesome. It's Matt's dad, by the way. I'm just saying. It's like, he's awesome. I'm like, the point is that like we can see when our words aren't coming out right that you have a problem in here and we need to fix it. Are you with me? So unhealthy communication, no good. Healthy communication, very good. So number two is unhealthy communication to avoid. Go down the bottom of the chapter, Ephesians 4, 29 and 30, it says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Can I just add to that? Because basically, if you're thinking it, you might as well have said it. I'm not telling you to say it. Please don't do that. I'm just saying, but if you're thinking something and you're like, you know, you see someone and you're like, you know, like, basically, you know, like when you're thinking bad thoughts, like about something, you're like, yeah. Or, you know, like if you're thinking it, you're already there because it's already here. Are you with me? It's like you need to get at that and say, I don't want to have bad communication or unhealthy communication. But it says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth except which is good and necessary for the edification that it may impart grace to the hearers. So our speech should impart grace to the people around us. That's unmerited favor. Not you did this, so you deserve this. It's like, so what? People deserve a lot of stuff. But if God gave you what you deserved, you'd be off the planet. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So Paul lists three unhealthy emotions. Say emotions. Then he lists three unhealthy types of communication. Say communication. So nobody likes these emotions. Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger. Bitterness. Nobody likes bitterness in a relationship. Wrath. Nobody likes wrath in a relationship. Anger. Nobody likes that when somebody's coming at you all hard and when somebody's got stuff. And so the first three emotions, let's look at the Amplified. The Amplified says it loudly. Whatever. Let it go. It says, let all bitterness, indignation, wrath, passion, rage, bad temper, resentment, anger, animosity. So mixing these emotions in your communication is a relationship killer. Yet you could be silent and still communicate some of these emotions. Do you have to speak to show someone you're angry? No, your body language can tell them you're angry. Huh? Do you have to speak to show them that you're bitter? Some people may be like, are you sucking on a lemon? Because your face is showing all kinds of bitter signs. Funky signs. Nasty signs. It's like, can you deal with some of that? But so even when you don't speak, you can communicate these things because they're emotions. Shannon Adler had some wise thoughts that she said about this. She said, be leery of silence. It doesn't mean you won the argument. Then she said, often people are just busy reloading their guns. I'm like, boom shakalaka. They're just like, this is getting ready to lay the whammy on you. It's like, oh, I showed you, silenced you. It's like, silence doesn't mean you got it all. If there's something in there, it's like, we need to make sure whatever's flowing out of here is good. And the Apostle Paul, then he says, here's three unhealthy things to avoid in our communication. Say three. So the first one he says is clamor. I'm like, what is clamor? So the Greek word clamor, it means to outcry, tumult, grief, clamor, cry. Clamor means to shout, quarrel, brawling, clamor, contentions. We all can figure that one out. We had 10 kids in our family. If you have any number of kids, you'll figure out what that is real quick because things happen. Hello, moms. Can any moms amen me? You can always tell, like, when the house is too quiet, what's going on. But there is a healthy chatter in a baseball game, and there's an unhealthy chatter when it gets into a home, right? And when you hear unhealthy volume and stuff going up, you start to go, this isn't right. Can I tell you, volume increase can be a sign of anger. Two people agreed. I'm going to preach to them. Volume increase can be a sign of anger. Now, volume can be not a sign of anger. It could be like, Joey, don't go in the street. It's like, don't you raise your voice at my son. And she's like, he would be dead. You want a dead son or do you want me to raise my voice? He just about ran in the street. Or, you know, it's like, okay, you know, your child's about ready to touch something that's hot. And, you know, you're like, don't touch that. You know, they're going to burn themselves. There's nothing wrong with volume if in communication, if it's like constructive. But I'm talking about communicating one to another. When you raise your volume, and you use volume, it can be a sign of anger. Proverbs 27:14 says, he who blesses his friend with a loud voice rising early in the morning, it could be counted a curse to him. So even the right thing, if you're saying it, the right thing, the point is the right thing with the wrong volume can be wrong. Yeah. Are you here? Yeah. Intimidating with our volume, wrong. So if you think just raising your voice will intimidate the situation, that's not right. So if you're using volume as an intimidation, stop it. It's not right. So he says, don't use this. Don't use clamor. Don't use these things. Bring it down. And can I just give you a hint? If you, and they've proven this with statistics, that in a relationship, if you come into a relationship and you're like, honey, I can't believe your tools are all over the garage. I ran over this and that. Paisley's got a saw in her hand. It's like, what is going on around here? It's plugged in. You know, it's like Lily's playing in the street and da, da, da. Can I just give you a hint? If you come in with a loud voice, this conversation is never going to end well. Because when you come in with volume versus if you turn the volume down, so if you catch yourself going, I can't believe that, take a tone back, take a breath, and re-enter the conversation. Because any conversation entered with the volume high, the percentage, like I think it's a high 80-something percent, it's not going to turn out good. This is going to be a fight. This is going to not turn out good. Turn it back in. Even if you come in and you go, man, and there's something, just be like, I got to go to the bathroom. Go to the bathroom. Slap yourself around. Pop, pop, pop. Wake up. Come like Jesus. Jesus wouldn't raise his voice. Come on now. He only did to the religious. He didn't to the ones he was in relationship with. Are you with me? So come back and reapproach it and just say, honey, probably not smart for Paisley to have a skill saw running in her hand when I came home. I love her and like her body parts on her body. Thank you, honey. I'm going to go handle that. And then what happened? What happened? And then she finds out there was something upstairs and something messed up and he was going to save Lily and didn't realize it. And you know what I mean? I'm just saying, like, sometimes if you come at it with anger, then it's going to be back in your face. Well, you don't know what I just did. You're just ramping it and ramping it. You got to de-escalate. And we're going to talk about that next time I preach. I'm talking about conflict resolution. And we'll talk about that. De-escalate a confrontation. But the first one is, if you use volume, just remember, as soon as your volume goes up, it's not going to turn out the way you think, if you think it's going to turn out good. Okay, volume is the first sign. Jesus said, don't do that one. Take the volume down. Okay? Say, take the volume down. Second thing Paul said is evil speaking. He says, clamor and evil speaking. So we all get evil speaking. Do you know what the Greek word is? Blasphema. It's where they get the word blasphemy. Don't speak blasphemy to God. So especially blasphemos was vilification, and especially when you vilify God. So when you make God the villain, that's blasphemy. Are you with me? But we can do that with each other. We can vilify each other. Words that are evil speaking, it's words when we assault the nature of a person, not just a situation and a specific issue, but we start name calling. We start saying stuff like, you always do this. Boom. Assassination of character. You always. Wrong. You villainized him. You just made him a villain. Who always? Hello? You always endanger our kids. It's like, what child hasn't been in some danger somehow? They can get in danger by themselves. It's like, you're cooking and they're holding a knife. You're like, yeah, put that down. Try to be like, mommy, like seriously, you always leave the knives out for our kids. It's like, you assassinated her character. She's like upset. You always yell at me. Like, don't assassinate character. You're like, and then you expect something good to come out of that? You just shot him, and then you're like, okay, let's have a constructive conversation. So volume, not good. And then if you go to evil speaking and you start to do this, then that's not going to turn out good. So don't do those things. Look at someone next to you. Don't do that. That's the worst thing you could do right now. Say, don't do that. I'm just messing with you. Okay? Someone once said this. They said, before I criticize someone, they said, I like to walk a mile in his shoes. Isn't that good? Problem is the second half of what they wrote. They said, that way, when I do criticize him, I'm a mile away and I have his shoes. Can't even come after me. I'll criticize you, whoo, and you're a mile away. Whoo, can't touch this. I'm just joking. Don't do that. Just not do it, because it doesn't work good. And you know what? When you criticize someone else, it comes back on you because you judge the way you judge. So I always have to be careful when I'm starting to make a judgment, even when someone did something really stupid and it's really obvious. It's like, I don't have to be the one to point it out, because I do stuff that's stupid. And I'd rather be forgiven than have everybody point it out. So if I start pointing at everyone, I got three fingers pointing back at me. So I don't want that. So let's be graceful to the person, even if they did something stupid. And the next one, he said the third word is a malice. So malice isn't hard to figure out. This word means trouble, evil, malice. This is wickedness. This is the worst speech. It means wicked speech. These are deep wounding words. These are when you say something that you know are going to hurt. You know what I mean? Like, you know, seriously, like, instead of just making a statement like, you put salt on my food. You know I don't like salt. Instead of saying, you always put too much salt on everything I have. You're the worst cook in the world. Boom. It's like, you're eating TV dinners from now on, Buckwheat. You're done. You purposely cut your spouse. Are you with me? You don't, if you're evil, and you can do it. Girls sometimes can be, like, vicious. Like, oh, you wore that? That thing makes you look heavy. You're like, oh, did she just say that in front of all those girls that were listening? You know, or like, you know, whatever. I'm just saying, like evil words are meant to cut. Malice means you speak it with the intent to hurt them. And if you look at someone and you have the intent to hurt them, stop speaking. Get before the cross and talk to God. And let God take it out of your heart, forgive them. If you need to speak the truth in love, go do it in love and say, you need to really change this. And some things need to be spoken. I'm not saying you don't have the hard conversation. That's a mistake. David didn't correct his children and it ruined them. You have to have the hard conversation, but you have to do it in love, okay? Freedom of speech doesn't include the freedom to let our flesh speak. Freedom of speech doesn't give us the right to have our flesh speak. We speak the truth in love. So the truth in love is different than just letting your flesh go. If you feel like you just want to just vent, it's like, go out behind the garage, vent to the dog, and then shoot him. I'm not saying shoot a dog. What I'm saying is you shouldn't be telling people that once you spew words, those words stay out there in the atmosphere. And when you spew on somebody, it doesn't go away, even if you say blah 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 blah, and then you go, David, I'm sorry. He still has to process all the blah 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 you said. And then you said, I'm sorry. It's like, that, why'd you do that? So, like, let's learn that let's not do that, and let's reel it in. And when you see somebody doing that, like, say, hey, let's just pull this back in. Let's just take this, and let's not do that. So lay aside bitter words, temper tantrums. This is Passion Translation. Lay aside bitter words, temper tantrums, revenge, profanity, and insults. And if it's in you and you want revenge on someone, then you need to go before the cross, because Jesus didn't do that. But instead it says, be kind and affectionate towards one another. Let's be kind. Let's have kind words. Let's have kind words for each other. There was a couple, and they were pretty wealthy, and they had a really nice house, really nice things. And the guy had a really nice convertible, okay? He had a really nice sports car. So he had to go on a business trip. And when he went on the business trip, he left on the business trip. And his wife actually decided, he didn't want anyone driving his car, but his wife actually decided when he left that she just needed to drive the car. Temptation was too much, so she gets in the car, and she's like, I'm going to drive his car. She drives out in the car, and then in the neighborhood, of course, kids jump out from behind, park cars. She didn't want to hit the kid. Of course, she plows his convertible into a parked car. Police come. They're looking. They go to the report. They say, go in the glove box. Get me your registration and all that, and she's flustered. She opens the glove box. Boom, there's a letter. It says Ashley right on the envelope. He's like, what? I mean, she's like, what? She looks. It's her name sitting there, so she's like, okay, and she opens this letter, and it's a note from Jim, her husband. It says, Ashley, if you're reading this, you've evidently had a wreck. But it said, but if you're reading this, you're evidently okay. Ashley, I want you to know it's not my car I love. It's not even myself I love. Ashley, it's you I love. Aww. Isn't that sweet? He already had kind words ready for an event that really wouldn't have been so kind if he was standing there when that happened. But he pre-planned to be kind. How about we be kind? How about even in a hot situation that we reevaluate what's really important and be kind? Kindness goes a long way. So in healthy communication, the power, healthy communication has power over lies. Healthy communication releases love. And perfect love casts out all fear. And the last one, healthy communication practices, we talked about speaking the truth in love, is we need to speak the truth in love. We need to be those who are ready to love those. We need to speak words that are seasoned with love. It says in 1 Peter 1:22, since you've purified your souls, obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love, love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Let's love each other with a pure heart. And so when God purifies our heart, then love can flow out of it. And like I said earlier, if we catch ourselves being snippy with your words, or you catch yourself thinking thoughts you shouldn't think, you need to go purify your heart and let God season it with love. Come on, everybody wants seasoning on our ribs. We want our chicken. We want it on our everything. You know, you want your food seasoned. We want that. Come on, when you're making the food, we need to pow, throw the seasoning on it. Well, sometimes we just need God to get a hold of us and say, would you just season this heart? Because it's getting a little like, you know, I acted salty, or I feel like I heard this and I really don't like what I'm thinking about that person. Or like jealousy. You know, I see that person and I'm not successful and I'm jealous. This happened and I'm disappointed. Whatever those things are, because all those things are real in life. We can go to God and say, can you season me so that I can actually rejoice with those who are having success when I'm in a pruning season and all I feel is the shears cutting and pruning and I smell the doo-doo that you spread on the tree. Because sometimes when you get pruned, and Jesus said, don't cut the tree down, prune it and fertilize it. And the fertilizer stinks. And you're standing there going, my life stinks right now and I feel nothing but cutting. And that person's got a double bumper crop of fruit. And this isn't fun, God. And it's like, we need to pull back and say, season me, help me. Help me to know your word, that I will speak the truth in love. And I will say, my season's coming. And instead of comparing, instead I'll say, well, if you bless them, then you're certainly going to bless me since I'm your favorite. Come on, let's change our perspective. You're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. You're royalty. He has your future in his hands. Well, you don't know what's going on. Circumstance is not bigger than God. The people around you, the devil's not bigger than God. Well, the devil's in our work, the devil in my town. No, God is bigger than all of it. God wants to bless you. He wants to shalom, peace on the inside. He wants to prosper you. He wants to bless you financially, emotionally, and especially relationally. We need to have the best relationships and the best lives, the best marriages. One more quick one, season your words with love. And then another one is speak kind words that give honor. Romans 12:10 says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. We need to prefer one another. Honor was huge. I was raised in a military home. Last service we just prayed for one of our military who is leaving for a year, and my husband's leaving for a year. So we prayed for him and blessed him, anointed him, and had people prophesy over Lamar. And we're going to stand there. We're going to stand there for his family and be there. I understand that. I was a kid when my dad was gone. He was overseas. Years I spent without a dad in the home. That's a hard thing to go through. But honor is a huge issue. And as I was looking at all these military, you know, we had a major praying and another officer praying. And I'm like, this is so awesome. I love honor. But can I just tell you, men gravitate towards honor. Ladies, they gravitate. So if you want your husband to love you more, then honor him, even if he's not honorable. Still, you honor. You say, well, how could I honor him if he's not honorable? You honor him. How could he love you if you're not so lovable? But if you honor him, he'll love you. Because when he feels honored, love will flow out of him. And if you love her, then honor will flow out of her. It works both ways. But let's speak kind words and give honor. True story, and I'll wrap it with this. There was a soldier, and he's serving overseas. And when he's overseas, he gets a Dear John. Is that what they call it? Dear John letter. Basically, he's getting dumped. He's fighting in another nation for this nation. He gets a letter from, and she says all this stuff. And besides that, she says, and I want my picture back. And she's ending the relationship, and she's in a new relationship. So she's telling him, I'm in a new relationship. Give me my picture back. So his buddy said, here, we got some advice for you. His buddies all came together, don't try this one at home, ladies and gentlemen. And all his buddies, they all put pictures together and came up with about 20 pictures. And he sent her a letter and he said, "Dear Julie, and there's 20 pictures. Your letter is in this envelope, but I can't remember which one you are. So please take your picture out and send me the other pictures back. Yours truly." Tim, whoa. Yeah. What she did wasn't honorable, but what he did wasn't honorable. So what are you going to do, just one up each other? This is unhealthy relationships at its best. We laugh, but it's like what she did was to cause pain, and I'm so against that. But then what he did was just as bad, and that shows you that there's unhealthy. When you want the worst for somebody, like suffering for Christ means you do what's right, even if it causes you pain. Are you with me? What she did was wrong, but it doesn't justify it. And if we stoop to the level of those who wrong us and we just want to wrong them back, that's not Jesus. That's not healthy relationships. So even if somebody comes at you and they say all kinds of false things about you, even if it's your spouse and you just know right now, you know, there's got to be times when you have, where your spouse can say things that are like off the reservation, they're off the track, and you grace them for them. Because there are certain times when maybe your mouth will speak, because it'll be you next, and you say things that really aren't true, and it's not really what they think, that you don't respond to. Any more that when your kid comes to you and says, "I hate you, Daddy," and you're like, "You hate me because I'm making you eat your broccoli. That's why you're saying you hate me. You don't hate me at all. You know, I love mommy. It's because mommy will give me ice cream." It's like, no. It's probably backwards in this situation. It's probably daddy gives ice cream and ends like, "I'm the one saying eat your broccoli." But the point is that a kid will say it and you just know as a parent, you go, "You don't really do, that doesn't really matter." But where are we in relationships? Because love believes the best in someone. So when you're hearing it, can you just say, "I'm not going to believe that," because they obviously bought in with the devil. They believed a lie. They're not going to be like, "You've listened to the devil and you bought into lies and you're horrible." It's that's truth without love. Even if it's true, it's like, bring some love in that. Just pull it back in. Don't retaliate. Healthy communication just believes the best. It doesn't take account of wrong suffered, and it doesn't respond in that. You with me? Are you here? So can you stand with me today? There's so much we could talk about. I want to talk about resolving conflicts next time, and it'll be good. And I'm so looking forward to this weekend and just sitting in marriage conference and just getting a chance to just develop all those skills in relationships. We need them because we need to be the best at them over everybody on the planet because we represent Jesus. I just want to pray for you right now. Father, I pray, God, as we stand before the cross, that the ground is level before the cross. And it doesn't matter what anyone's done. It doesn't matter about anyone else. Us and you is the first level of communication. And I want you just to ask him and say, "Father, forgive me." Would you just pray and say, "Father, forgive me. And forgive me for mishandling relationships." And we all do it some degree, so don't be like, "Well, I'm pretty good at relationships." It's like the worst person to be married to is the one who thinks they're really good at relationships. Even if they are, we should be humble. Hello? But with you, God, sometimes we don't pull it all together. And sometimes we didn't come to the cross with it. Instead, we dumped it on people. But Jesus tells us to come to the cross. He tells us to come to me, those who are heavy laden. Come to me, those who are burdened and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Let's put those burdens on the cross. Let's let the blood of Jesus cleanse all our disses and disappointments. Let's let him take our pains and our problems, and let's go to the cross more and then have healthy communication with people on the earth. So I just bless you, and I pray that the anointing of God and the power of God would just forgive any sins of relational sins. And I pray that your communication with him would increase. And if you're here and you say, "Well, I've never asked him to forgive my sins," this is a good place to start. Even if you're born again, would you just say, "Father, forgive my sins"? It's a good place to start at that cross every day and just say, "Father, if there's anything in me, take it away." And if you're in a spot during the day and you sense that that someone's bugging you, take it to the cross and pray for them. Take it to the cross and say, "Take this from my heart, season my heart, and let me speak love over them, even if they don't deserve love, because you don't give me what I deserve." So I want to grace others. So I just pray for you right now that the grace of God will flood you. I pray your relationships would increase. I pray you could take some of these things and that they would actually help you to look more like Jesus in your relationships. I pray that people would come to you and say, wow, I can't believe how you handled that. But we all know that it's only God in us when the good stuff comes out. And I just pray for you. And I thank you, God, that your anointing, your Holy Spirit fills us. And you teach us how to walk each day. You teach us. You're the one who puts the stop sign on our mouths. You're the one who shows us when we need to pull aside and to come to the cross. You're just so awesome. Thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit in each life. Would you just say that? Say, thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit in my life. Lead and guide me with healthy communication. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you. God bless you. We'll see you next week. Have a wonderful week. There's a missions meeting.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church.